inspiring, motivating, empowering. This is the Bev Smith Show. This is the Bev Smith Show on the Empowerment Radio Network.
I'm excited about this conversation because I'll be talking to a Steeler fan. I mean, a diehard Steeler fan. His show on the internet is called Steeler Nation Live. And it reminds me, his passion reminds me of when I left Pittsburgh and moved to Miami. My daughter adapted very well. She started wearing Dolphin stuff. Steeler to the max. Moved to Baltimore, to crazy Baltimore, to Redskin country. And when the Steelers didn't play, I wore my Steeler garb. And I won't have my Steeler garb on Sunday. My goddaughter is a diehard Steeler fan, but she's from Seattle originally. She's got her Seattle garb. But I'll be wearing my Steeler garb. Just gotta give them some props. And that's why I really wanted to talk to Rude Dog, Rudy Reyes. I like it, Rude Dog. He has the show Steeler Nation Live, and he liked in me, and he said, I really want to talk to you, Miss Bev. And it is so great to have a conversation with someone who is just down to earth, just like we're sitting around let me invite him into the living room. Sit down. Give him an Iron City. Give him an Iron City. Is that what I should give him? Duquesne beer? Is that what I should give him? And say, hey, Rudy, thank you so much for getting in touch with me.
Hey, my pleasure.
I've just been delighted to read all the things about you. How in the world did you get involved? And what is this addiction to the Pittsburgh Steelers before we talk sports?
Well, I have been a fan of the Steelers since I was about 7 years old, born and raised here in Southern California. And when I was approached by my co-anchors, Big Tiz and Big O out of Rochester, New York, they wanted me to be their West Coast connection. So I figured what a great marriage. And then a personal tie-in, if I may. I was born on 9/11. And on that day, a lot of things transpired that just shaped my life as well as thousands of other Americans. So I figured I would just take that approach and follow the lead, just like that gentleman did on Flight 93, and here I am.
Wait a minute. You were born on the 9/11 because you look a little older than that, or you were born – how old are you?
I'm about to give my year away.
I'm sorry about that.
No, that's okay. I am 40 years old.
Okay.
And I also have a twin, an aunt, and a cousin. We all share that day.
And do you all share the love of the Steelers?
Unfortunately not. I wish that would be a lot easier said than done. My twin brother is a Kansas City Chiefs fan. And I told him in the beginning of the season that your team's going to go down. And when they did, I was probably going to throw a party for that. So.
And did you?
I wanted to, in my mind, in my heart, I wanted to throw the biggest party the West Coast has ever seen, but I didn't get a chance to do that.
That's okay. That's okay. You partied in your heart and soul because you won, and you know how that brother rivalry is. Let's talk a moment about football and what is happening in football. Let's deal with the Steelers first, and then we'll move on to the controversy around some of the violence where we are hearing from and talking to athletes who believe that their physical condition today is a result of being hurt when they played ball. But let's move back for a moment to the Steelers. I want your opinion on this coach, and I want your opinion on some of the plays that have been called by this coach and his team. And the reason why, I go back to the glory days, to the days of L.C. Greenwood, to the days of Frenchie, who wore goldfish in his shoes. I mean, these are the guys I knew personally. And these are the guys that walked and talked and were visible in the community. I'm not talking about just one of them. I'm talking about going to the schools where there were predominantly black kids and talking to these children while visiting other schools, but making sure that they didn't miss it. And I'm talking about a brotherhood that I don't really see in the Steelers today, a camaraderie that I don't really see, a team spirit. I seem to see a lot of individuality, but then that's just a talk show's opinion. What's yours?
Well, currently, we have a lot of things going on both sides of the ball. Back in the day, to address your point about Frenchie Fuqua and, you know, Franklin Harris, the Steel Curtain, L.C. Greenwood, they had a unity that is unmatched. Even in today's NFL, when you're talking about other teams, even the Minnesota Vikings and the Purple People Eaters, of course, we beat them in respective Super Bowls, and I'll give them credit where credit is due. I don't believe we have the unity in the NFL today, and I think on collective efforts on the defensive side of the ball, with World stepping in as he should have, Lamar Woodley's untimely injury, which caused him to be sitting on the sidelines, which basically gave our defense a different look altogether. Prior to this past year's play, we got rid of a lot of key players. I mean, Casey Hampton, James Ferrier, one of my favorite all-time players, may not go in the Hall of Fame. He may. Obviously, I'm not the one who casts the vote to get him in, but we don't have a lot of collective efforts. Someone told me one time, Rudy, there's an I in win, but there's no I in team. And unless there's a team, you just can't win. As far as all the injuries that have plagued the defensive side of the ball, as well as the offensive side of the ball collectively, in the NFL, I don't believe there had been enough addressed issues prior to what's being known now as concussion syndromes, which has caused a few major football players to go down in their prime of life. As far as the NFL not recognizing whether or not those injuries were conducive to long-term negative effects to their health, I don't think there was enough research done. I really don't believe that there had been enough done in the NFL prior to leading up to this point. You could always ask yourself, well, how do we get to this point, Beth? How do we get here?
Well, part of the question
is you have to look in the past in order to see the future.
Well, if you look in the past, you get to the conversations that were had with some of the players. For example, some of the players didn't know in the old days what using steroids would do, because they were told by the teams and by many people on the teams, and the owners knew, and you know that as well as I do, that it wouldn't hurt them that much. But now we know it can. When you sit in a studio across from a man like, what was his name? Lou Ferrigno. Lou Ferrigno. I watched him go down. Mm-hmm. He did my show several times when I did a show for NBC in Washington, D.C. on WRC. And he came and sat in that studio, and he was going to Georgetown University and Hospital and Johns Hopkins. And so he would come by. He was addicted to the show, and he would come by. I saw him go down, and he told me the coaches knew, and he told me that everybody on the team knew, but they didn't know what the effects were because they were told that there were so many different steroids. Going to the issue of concussions, they knew. This isn't the first time this subject has come up. This subject has come up many, many times before. Not only this subject, but the subject of when they are hurt, like when they go down, and then the trainers or the doctors shoot them up with something that will make them get up off that ground and play through the pain. They know that. So to me, some of the players, maybe all of them, are used by the owners who make the money from the players as slaves. I mean, it doesn't seem like the team owners or the franchise or the AFL cares that much.
Mm-hmm. Well, I believe that the NFLPA has a really heavy hand in this whole situation and has for quite some time. I mean, you had leaders of the NFLPA that were also not properly addressing these potential issues prior to saying, look, we need to look at this a little bit further before we give it to our performance athletes, for which we pay millions upon millions of dollars for. Prior to giving it to them, we need to test this out to make sure that it is safe for them. Long-term play, short-term play, safe overall, even after their exit from the NFL. I don't believe, again, on both sides of the ball, whether it's the NFLPA or the NFL in general, gave that much of a hoot in regards to what the effects were going to be on the long term. Lou Ferrigno, again, another untimely death, but I don't believe that you can necessarily say it's the NFLPA's fault or the NFL's fault. You as an individual should know, for all intents and purposes, whatever you're injecting yourself in your body with, you know, be it steroids or anything else, insulin for that matter, for diabetics, you know, you have to look at this and do your own personal education in order to prevent any off-season or post-football or post-athletic careers.
In theory, darling, that sounds good. But the real deal is, if you're a young person and you're getting an opportunity and they're talking about paying you millions of dollars, buying you a car and getting your mama a house, it may be a little difficult for you to say, is this good for me? I need to be a superstar. Well, come back. I've got a new friend. Where did he get this new name from? Rude Dog? He's not rude at all.
It's the Queen of Information. This is the Bev Smith Show.